take your Bibles and turn in your Bibles. It's going to be on the screen as well. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 14 to 21. Bishop and Sister Downs will be ministering all day today in Manila, and then they're going to be home on Tuesday. So that ends a seven-week trip that they've been ministering all around the world. So keep them in your prayers. Looking forward to having them back. Looking forward to seeing them actually resting. Isaiah 43, verses 14 through to 21. Has everyone got it in their Bibles? Say amen if you've got it. Amen. All right. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. I am your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I am the one which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse. I'm the one that delivered you, God is saying. The army and the power, they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. I brought you out. They are quenched as tow. Then the Lord says, I brought you out. And then he says, remember not the former things. Everyone say, remember not. Everyone say, the former things. Remember not the former things, neither consider the ways or the things of old. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I brought you out with my powerful hand. I brought you out in a miraculous way. I brought you out. Now forget about the things of old. Consider not the former things, because I want to do a new thing. Everyone say a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Remember not the former things. Consider not the things of old. And God says, why do you need to forget about the past? He says, because I want to do a new thing. I want to preach today on this thought, the torment of former things. The torment of former things. And I believe today that God wants to do a work in our heart. I believe that God is speaking to someone very, very specifically, that you have been tormented over the last period of time by some things that have happened in your past. Your life hasn't always been like that. You haven't always been tormented by these things, but lately, something has been happening and the former things are back in your mind and they are tormenting you. I want to preach today and I want God's Spirit to give us victory in this place. Amen. Over the torment of former things. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can come before you. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you want to do a new thing. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us out, oh God, that now we can live in victory, oh God. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that somehow by the moving of your Spirit in this place, oh God, that you would help somebody deal with the torment of former things. We thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you that you died on the cross, that all these old things are passed away. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. The torment of former things. The torment of former things. Everyone say old things, past things, former things. I was with a friend this week, and they were telling me about, we were at a place where there was some cattle, and they were telling me that back home in their home country, that taking care of cattle and fencing was quite easy, because what they used to do is they would set up a fence, just a one rope fence, just a single rope that had electricity in it. And so they would get the new cows. They'd bring the cows off the truck, and they would put them into the field, and they would take the cow right up to the fence where it would touch that electric fence, and it would give it a shock. Okay? Give that cow a shock. And then he said, after that, after the memory of that shock, all you had to do was put a piece of rope up. Wherever you put that piece of rope, doesn't matter how strong it was, the cows weren't going to go anywhere near it because they had a bad experience. They had something happen in their past when they went near that rope and it gave them an electric shock. When I was in the U.S. A couple of years ago, I went into an estate, and in the housing estates, they like to have the rolling hills. They don't like people to have fences. So they have these rolling hills and these beautiful houses sitting on these grass rolling hills with no fences. It looks like it's just all open fields and just houses randomly placed on the hills. And as I was walking with my wife, we were walking one morning very early. It was snowing. It's in Philadelphia. And we're walking down, and suddenly this dog, this big dog, comes running from the veranda of the house towards us that we're on the road. And there's no fences there. This dog is coming at us fast. He kind of looked playful, but he was kind of big. And I wasn't sure exactly what to think of this dog that was running at us, but it ran right up to us and then stopped at this point. I was like, that was strange. And then as we walked along the road, then he ran up along parallel to the road, barking at us and growling at us, but he wouldn't go any further. I went back to the house. I said to my friend, I said, I saw the strangest thing. A dog ran at us and then it just stopped. He said, oh, that's because we have these electric currents, these cables that run in the ground that go around the boundary of our property. And we put a collar on the dog so that when he crosses over that boundary, he gets a shock. And so there's these invisible fences. And so after some time, you can even turn off that invisible boundary and the dog will never leave its property because it has a bad memory. It remembers the time that it went near that point on the yard and it got a shock in the collar. The torment of former things. Once I was at a place where they were milking cows, and they would bring the cow in, and they'd put it into the little yard there, and they'd get the milking things ready. And what they do is they just get a bit of rope, just a tiny little bit of rope like this, and they just rest it on the cow's foot. And I said to the guy, I said, what use is that bit of rope on the cow's foot? It's not doing anything. He didn't have it wrapped around the cow's foot. He just had the rope resting on the foot. And he told me, he said, well, it goes back a long time, but a long time ago, we used to tie the cow's foot. So when it tried to move, it couldn't move its foot. He said, but now all we need to do is just touch the leg with the rope and the cow won't move, because once upon a time, it remembered that it couldn't move. It was tied up, but now it can remember when it feels that rope, even though it's not even tied up. It's tormented, as you might like to think, by the former things. The former things. The former things. The carryover of old things is very, very dangerous. In fact, you can't have, listen to me today, you can't have a new beginning until old things end. God cannot give you, and I like the imagery of such a thing, God cannot give you the new thing in your hands while your hands are still full of the old thing. He can't give you the new until you empty your hands of the old. And so in the scripture that we read, God connects his ability to do a new thing with our ability to leave the former things behind. He says, I want you to forget the former things because I want to do a new thing. Everyone say a new thing. You see, I can't tell you how many relationships are ruined because somebody keeps bringing up the past. Now, I don't want to see any husbands and wives nudging each other. But many relationships can be ruined or even strained because couples keep bringing up the past. I can't tell you how many tormented people are around because they made some mistakes in their past. And here it is for you today. Even people who have been born again, who are new creatures in Jesus Christ, who have victory over their past life and past sins and all those mistakes, even those who are born again can be tempted to hold on to the old things, and that temptation to hold on to the old things brings a torment to their life. If we're going to be effective, church, in doing what God has called us to do, we need to forget the former things. We need to stop, as the Bible says, considering the things of old. And so the portion of scripture that we read, Isaiah is, he's got eagle eyes because Isaiah is the prophet, is looking down the road and he's seeing down the road and he's challenging the Israelites. He's saying that you have left Babylon, but you need to leave the Babylon experience behind. You were once in exile for 70 years in Babylon. You were mistreated in Babylon. You were treated as slaves in Babylon. You were banished from your homeland in Babylon. But I have taken you out. Now you need to leave the memories. You need to leave the former things behind. You see, the children of Israel were forcibly removed from their homeland by a foreign power, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. And so they were taken into exile, banished out of their homeland for 70 years. And look at this. David wrote just how it felt to be in Babylon. They called it a strange land. They were away from their culture. They were away from their customs. They were away from their families. And in Psalm 137, David says this, if you can throw it on the screen, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yay, we wept when we remembered Zion. We were homesick. When we remembered Zion and our hometown, and we wept. And look at this. They had stopped singing. It says they had no more joy in their hearts, not even enough to sing anymore. They said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive, our captors came up to us. We were taken captive. They were mistreating us. And our captors used to come up to us and they would say, come on, sing a song, sing a song. They said, they carried us away. And they that wasted us, they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, you know what? We couldn't do it because we're in a strange land. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And maybe some of you today, I'm not talking about singing really, like just singing a song, but maybe your joy has been taken. Maybe you can't feel the joy that you once used to feel because you've hung your harp on the willow. And there you are being tormented by the things of old, the torment of former things. Historians say that when the Babylonians took the Israelites captive, that they were abusive. Some of the men and their children are out. Some of the men were castrated. Women were raped. Chains were around their feet and their hands. And they had memories, these terrible memories of being held captive in Babylon. And as they were led out of Jerusalem, historians say that this is one of the songs that they led as they were taken captive. In verse 6 it says, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. I've got to remember, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. I don't want to remember Jerusalem. I prefer to be in Jerusalem in home. As for 70 years away from their culture, their customs, their practices. For 70 years, they were denied worship of their God. For 70 years, they were disrespected. 70 years, they were the children of God. But yes, they were entrapped in slavery. For 70 years, those who were God's people, taken captive in exile, banished out of their home country, the depravity of everything they experienced had brought them so low They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, there are times when God can bring you out and you can't even believe that God has done it. You got to keep bringing it up. God brought you out. He says in our text in Isaiah 43, he said, I brought you out. You saw my miraculous hand at work. You saw how I dealt with your enemies. You saw how I changed everything. But still, you keep remembering the past. He says, you've got to forget the former things. While Babylon isn't mentioned in this psalm, scholars believe that this was a psalm that was penned by the people of God when they were returning back to Jerusalem from Babylon. In Psalm 126, verse 1 to 3, look at this. This is when they're returning back. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. After 70 years of exile, after 70 years of being in Babylon, now they're being let out of Babylon and they're going back to Jerusalem and they're saying to each other, you know what? It feels like a dream. It seems like it's too good to be true. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. Whoa, can you believe it? And our tongue, they began to sing again. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. God had delivered them. They're starting to sing and there's laughter again. They were out, they were delivered, they were saved. And God tells them, he says, remember not the former things. Listen carefully right now. You see, you can be out, but if you continue to remember it, if you continue to dwell on it, if you continue to relive it, if you continue to rehearse it, you can be out. But if you continue to remember, you see, the tormentor doesn't have to be present for us to be tormented. Let me say that again. The tormentor doesn't have to be present for us to be tormented. And this is where God is speaking to us today. I believe God is speaking to someone very, very specifically. Some of us have been tormented by things that are under the blood of Jesus. They are forgiven. God has brought you out. You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. Some of us have been tormented by the memories of the past, the mistakes we made. And even though we are born again, even though all those old things and former things are passed away, some of us are being tormented by the things of our past, the former things. And I've come to tell you, you've got to stop remembering. You've got to stop dwelling on it. You've got to stop rehearsing it because God wants to do a new thing. The very thing that can be holding you back from your future in God are the things that are behind you. Some people have got their hands around those things. Their mind is wrapped around it, rehearsing it and reliving it and bringing up all the memories all the time. And God is saying, come on, my child. Come on, I got a new thing for you. Come on, it's time to walk in a new deliverance. It's time to walk in a new blessing. I've got a new thing. You see, some people are tied to their circumstance by the memories. Everyone say memories. And some people, because of the memories, you're just as afflicted now as you were before. Just like the cow with the rope on his leg. Just like the dog who couldn't go beyond the boundary because of the memories. Just because those cows and the electric fence. You see, memories. Memories have a way of bringing shame. Some of us can even be imprisoned by shame. Shame. Shame paralyzes people. We can become slaves because of shame. At a farmer's market in a little village, a story here, I've told this before. There was this little convoy of quail, little birds. And they were walking in circles around the pole. There was one pole in the middle, and these quail were walking around and around and around and around the pole. They had strings attached to their legs, and they walked around the pole hour after hour. And a man came to the market that day and he saw those quail. He saw them walking around the pole and he said, how much will you take for all of them? He paid the owner the price that was agreed and he began to cut the strings off their legs. What are you doing? Said the owner in unbelief. He said, I'm setting them free. I'm setting those quail free. I'm going to let them go. They don't need to walk around this pole anymore. But in spite of the strings being cut, and in spite of this man giving those little quail their freedom, even after the string was cut, the quail just kept walking around the same pole. They didn't even realize that they were free. They didn't realize that they could go in a different direction. They didn't realize that they had been set free. And eventually the man came up to those little quail going around and around the pole and he began to shoo them away. He said, come on, keep moving. You're free now. I've cut the ties. I've cut the rope. You don't have to walk around this pole anymore. And he began to set them free. And I've come to remind somebody today, I'm like that man who came to the market and began to shoo the quail away. I've come to tell you, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You don't have to be bound by shame. You don't have to be bound by the former things. You don't have to keep walking around the pole like a slave, because he that the Son has set free is free indeed. And God tells them, he says, remember not the former things. Held hostage by memories. You know, some people, you don't have to be in jail to be in prison. Some of us imprisoned by our own memories. Every time it comes up in your mind, those memories, don't allow it to come into your mind. Don't allow that memory to soak in. Don't rehearse it. Don't replay it. You can't forget it all together, but stop dwelling on the thoughts of the past. When the memory comes, you've got to tell hell, stop bringing this back. The devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. He comes to us and you tell him, say, devil, it is over. It is finished. Jesus died on the cross. I've been set free. That string around my leg has been cut and I refuse to go back to walking around the same old pole. And so the reality today, brothers and sisters, is some of us fight new devils and some of us are fighting old devils. Old things, former things. Think about the children of Israel when they were in Egypt after being slaves, making bricks, whipped, and God brings them out of Egypt, all right? Now, they cross the Red Sea, and in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, you can turn there in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. It tells us here that Amalek, everyone say Amalek. Amalek came and fought with Israel. Exodus 17, you can read it there in verse 8. And they had just come through the Red Sea, and now the Amalekites, or Amalek. Amalek came just after they were delivered through the Red Sea. And Amalek came, and the reason, in one portion of Scripture, it says God hates Amalek. He hates the Amalekites. And what the Amalekites did is right after they were delivered, they came through the sea, and Amalekites came, and the Amalekites were known for being dirty fighters because they don't attack the front of the army where the strong soldiers are. They came around the back and they attacked the women and the children and the stragglers. The Amalekites came and attacked them. In verse 8, it says, now Amalek came and fought Israel. They decided to take advantage of its usually more powerful neighbor. They took advantage and they attacked the tail end of the line. Yet Moses notes, but they didn't take into account our God. They can try to attack us in our weak place. Yes, but though I may be weak, he is strong. They didn't take into account. And so Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands and Israel won the battle against the Amalekites. And so what a memory it is. Imagine that. Imagine being delivered out of Israel, seeing the provision of God, following the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God took them through the ocean and now they're fighting the Amalekites, who fight a dirty fight. And God says, you know, I brought you out of Egypt. And then he tells them something about the Amalekites, these old enemies. Everyone say old enemies. Deuteronomy 25 verse 17 says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way. Remember what they did when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee. He came from behind and took out the feeble ones, even all they that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary. Let me tell you, we've got a devil that doesn't like to attack you when you're on your mountaintop. He don't like to attack you when you're doing well in God. He's a dirty fighter. He'll come to you when you're faint and when you're weary and when you're feeble. And he feared not God. Look at this. Verse 19 says, therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies around about. God is going to give you rest from your enemies in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. I am going to do a new thing. I am going to give you a new land. I am going to give you an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out. Everyone say blot out. You shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Now, this is a challenging scripture. I had to think about this a lot because it says we are to blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. The children of Israel are blotted out, but it says thou shalt not forget it. Now, there's some things in our past which we know they're there. But we need to blot out the details. Some of us have to have a testimony that says this, I have a past, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to expound the details. I'm not going to rehearse the details. I'm not going to soak my mind in the details of the memories. I have a past. I haven't forgot that, but I blotted out all the details. I can't remember it. And God has brought us out of Egypt. Yes, and the devil may have done some things. He's a dirty fighter. And yes, he may have entrapped you. He may have attacked you in weak times. You have maybe made mistakes. I'm sure you have made mistakes. Maybe even sin and shame is in your life. But I've got to tell you that you've got to blot out the memories of the past. Otherwise, you're going to be tormented by the former things. Because now you're in a new place, God said to the children of Israel. You're in a new place. I'm doing a new thing. You're in a new land. I'm giving you an inheritance. I want you to possess the inheritance. God says, I want to put something new in your hands. But your hands are full of the past. And so the Amalekites were old enemies. Blotting out was their way of saying, it is over. Everyone say, it is over. They couldn't walk in the promises. They couldn't walk in the provision. They couldn't keep walking in the blessing of God while they were putting their memories and their energy into their memories. They couldn't walk. And somebody here today, you're wondering why. Why is it that I've reached this point in my life? I've been walking with God and suddenly the memories are coming back. And let me tell you, you've got to stop putting energy into those memories. You've got to block out the details. Yes, you've got a past. Every single one of us has a past, but God has dealt with that. It is under the blood. When he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. This is not just a history lesson today. This is a message for every single one of us. Some can be free physically, but can be emotionally bound. Some of us have been born again and delivered, yes, into a new land, but still we're tormented by the things of the past, the former things. I've come today to put the accuser of the brethren in his place. I've come today to put an end to the memories. I've come today to remind you that he that the Son has set free is free indeed. That the power of the blood of Jesus is not just limited to your future sins. The blood washes the past. It washes the present. It washes every sin. There is nothing too great for the blood of Jesus. David takes over the leadership of the children of Israel, and I ain't included this late in my notes. I haven't got any slides. But David takes over the leadership of the children of Israel after Saul. Saul was a celebrated king. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. Everybody thought Saul was going to be this great deliverer. But Saul's life spirals out of control to such a point where he finds himself talking to the witch at Endor. Saul eventually dies on the battlefield, and David comes to the throne. David now comes to the throne, and now David is responsible for leading God's people into their future. David is now standing between the shattered dreams of the past under Saul and the future that God wants to give them. And David is standing in the middle. What do I do with a nation whose heart is broken, whose memories are rotten, who has seen disappointment after disappointment? When David heard news about Saul's death on the battlefield, 2 Samuel 21 verse 12 says, David rent his garments, he ripped his clothes, and he said, God, he said, thy glory, O God, is slain on the hills. Everything you would hope for, Israel, God, it lay slain. And there out on the battlefield with the bones of Saul, Saul's failure lay in a pile of bones. Discouragement and shame for the children of Israel. They are only now a shell of their dreams. And the bones of Saul lay on the battlefield. Everyone say the bones. What are you going to do, David? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is God's people. Now they're shattered. They're shattered dreams. Saul has been a complete disaster. Saul has been a complete disappointment. And you know what David says? He says, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go and bury the bones. And before David did anything else, he went to the battlefield and he took the bones of Saul and he buried them. And if you read your Bible, you can read it later. The Bible says that after David buried the bones of Saul, healing came to the land. And some of us, we've got some bones laying around from the past. Let me tell you, you can't keep going on in God. You can't keep walking forward when you just keep tripping over the bones of the past. You see, the devil's going to come, and he's going to come and try and bring those bones up. He wants you to remember the memories and the discouragement and everything that happened in your past. But I've come to remind somebody, you've got to go back. You've got to bury those bones. You've got to blot it out. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to forget the former things, because God wants to do a new thing. And so David buried the bones of Saul, the memories of the past, and then their nation was healed. John 19, verse 28. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Come on, can we read it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ. This is just last week. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everyone say a new thing. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in, he is. All things are, behold, all things are be. Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. When Jesus cried, it is finished. He dealt a death blow to the devil. He dealt a death blow to our sin, and he set us free. It is finished. What happened when Jesus said it was finished? In Colossians 2, verse 14, blotting out, look at this. We hear it, see it again. Blotting out, blotting out. You know, maybe you can't blot something out, but maybe you need to throw some things out. Maybe you need to take some numbers out of your phone that are there. Maybe you need to stop hanging around with some people. Maybe you need to blot some things out. Colossians 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. He blotted it out, which was contrary to us. It was against us. It convicted us and took it out of the way. And what? Nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So God tells the children of Israel, after that Babylonian experience, he said, you've got to leave behind the former things, the memories, the torment of the former things. We see it with the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt Yes, we see it. They were delivered, yes, again, out of Babylon. We see it, and we can see it today. I've seen it in the children of Israel, and I see it in the children of God today, that people can still be bound by their past. They can be set free, but they can still be having the mind of a slave because of the torment of former things. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this, and you can turn there in your Bibles. It's important. It's actually on the screen. I took this picture. I didn't take this picture. I got this picture of this old car because it's a nice old car. And, you know, everybody dreams about finding an old antique car at the back of a farm. And, you know, this is probably like what we were when God found us. Some of you already said in your mind, well, Pastor, I was a lot worse than that. Yeah. Thank God we're not what we used to be. But this old antique car, it would be one thing for the antique car restorer to take the car and to bring it into the workshop and to just leave it the same way. Rescued, saved. Saved from the forest, saved from the elements of the climate, saved, as it were, from destruction and rust. The car is saved because now it's in the garage. But God does much more than just restore us from the pit. He does much more than just lift us up out of the miry clay. He took the children of Israel out of Egypt. Yes. But look at this. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And Jewish people believe this is two things that God is going to do. He says, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And, everyone say and. And I will rid you out of their bondage. I am not just going to bring you out, but I am going to restore you. I'm going to make you new. I'm going to fix it all up. I'm going to get rid of the memories. You see, we don't have to live with the torment of our past. If the musicians could come, you see, God didn't just find us on the junk heap and stop us from being destroyed. I want to tell you today that God wants to continue to do a work in you. He wants to take you out of Egypt, but then he also wants to take Egypt out of you. There are some things that are tormenting us, unspoken things, personal things. Maybe some even are suffering in silence today, miserable and unhappy. Yeah, you smile. Yeah, you come to church and you smile. You go to work and you smile. But the miserable heart is still there because of the memories. Paul would have had some memories. Paul would have had a lot of memories. Before Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul had destroyed churches and he put Christians to death. Now Paul is going back to the same towns. And who was waiting for him there in those towns? The widows and the orphans. People's lives that he had devastated, the memories. Paul knew what it was to have a past. Paul, how do you move beyond the memories? How did you fulfill your God-ordained assignment, Paul? Let me tell you, Paul didn't suffer amnesia. He didn't just forget. It didn't just drop out of his mind when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Yes, it was still there, but he didn't dwell on them. He said these things in Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul left some things behind. He had to forget the former things. And if I want to tell you today, if you're struggling with guilt, if you're struggling with condemnation, if you're struggling with blame, if you're struggling with shame, if you're struggling with regret about the past, I want to say, let God forgive you, let him set you free and start moving forward. Press towards the mark. It is quite possible that some of you here today even have been born again, baptized. The Bible says baptism is for the remission of our sins. You've been born again. The past is gone. The debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And maybe that's you today. Maybe God has saved you and set you free. But still, you are tormented by the things of the past. This preacher's come to remind you today. That's free. Is free indeed. The blood of Jesus has made it clean. Let's all stand in this place right now. Let's stand in this place right now. Some of us need to get a revelation of what God has just spoken to us. Some of us need to understand that the past is gone. Some of us have been struggling with guilt, shame. I want to tell you, those regrets of the past, you can't move forward in God unless you understand the power of the blood of Jesus. Joseph had some memories. Joseph had some memories when his brothers came. They came to meet him when he was then a prince. Joseph could have looked at those boys and the memories would have been tormenting him if he had allowed them. But Joseph said this about the past. He said, "You meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. I'm not what I used to be." Reframe those things. Some of us need to reject those things. The next time the bad memory or the shame or the past or and the torment of the former things, the next time it resurfaces, you need to stop thinking about it. Leave it. It's under the blood. Don't go digging up the bones again. Don't do it. Refocus your thoughts. Philippians 3 verse 13 says, "Forgetting those things," Paul said it, "which are behind, I refuse to dwell on the things which are behind. But I reach forward to the things that are ahead." God wants to do a new thing. I've been preaching to people today, obviously, who have been born again, people that have been baptized, and even those of us who have been baptized, born again, filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we can be tormented by the things of our past. Blot it out. You're not going to forget it. You know it's there, but blot it out. Forget the former things. Consider not the things of old. But maybe you're here today and you're like, "Pastor, that's exactly where I am right now. I'm living a life of rebellion against God. There's sin in my life." Let me tell you how you can deal with those things once and for all. The Bible says that when we are baptized into Christ, we rise in newness of life. And our baptism takes away the sins of the past. Baptism, something that, you know, pastor may be preaching about it today, but baptism, something's in the Bible. Doesn't matter what denominations say, whether they believe in baptism or not. Baptism's in the Bible. Don't listen to what I say. The Bible says that we are baptized for the remission, the washing away of our sins. And if you haven't been baptized, today can be your day. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. But I'm also speaking to those who today are still tormented by the former things. Let's lift our hands all across this place and let God give us a